But now we're thinking of, we're not thinking of film, and we're not thinking of chop socky. We're thinking of theater and musicals and things of that nature. As I mentioned before the break, I'd gone to see this past Monday, I think it was, or Tuesday, the revival of Enter Laughing by the York Theatre Company. They're off-Broadway. They're over on Lexington Avenue on 54th Street. They're actually situated in the giant CityCorps building. Well, as long as CityCorps is still around. And had a wonderful time at Enter Laughing. It's tremendously funny. Even though on the night that I went, of all times, it was a press preview, too, so I wasn't the only press person there. Jim Morgan is on the phone. He's the artistic director of the York Theatre. Very proud to have him with us. And Jim, do you want to explain what happened on this week? It was kind of interesting.
Certainly, Dave. Thanks, first of all, for having me on the show.
Most welcome.
We've tried to work it out for a long time, and I'm glad it's finally worked out, even though I'm down in Florida. The elevator went out. And with some people in it, including, I believe, two critics. and it was, it was, mm-hmm. It has happened before, sadly. This time, it took longer to get taken care of. It was something like half an hour.
The show didn't start until about close to 9 o'clock, so it almost killed an hour of time. But rather than everybody sit there and grumble, because people will give like 15 or 20 minutes, but then the natives get restless.
Right.
This is what you got. I mean, this is the kind of theater that it is. First, what did you do?
John Spala, who's one of the understudies, one of the standbys for the cast, who's a wonderful entertainer and pianist, which is one of the reasons he's doing what he's doing in the show, volunteered to come out and entertain the audience. So he played and sang a number of songs and with a little chatter and kept everyone entertained. And then Stuart Ross, our wonderful director, choreographer, musical stager of Enter Laughing the Musical, Stuart and I talked Joe Stein, who's the book writer of Enter Laughing, and he's also the writer of the play, the playwright of the play, Enter Laughing, upon which the musical is based.
Mm-hmm.
We coerced Joe into coming out and talking to the audience and answering questions. And he's a wonderful guy, wonderfully personable. He really doesn't like doing things like that. So it showed how much he cared about the situation and cared about the audience for him to do it.
But
he ended up having a great time, and I think the audience did, too.
It's such a wonderful New York moment to go to a show, and there's technical problems and stuff, and then what happens? The guy who actually wrote the show, who's got to be close to 90 years old, or certainly in his 80s, comes on out, the director of the show, they talk to the audience, they take questions. I mean, it's the kind of thing that can only happen. It's a wonderful New York moment, and it's the kind of thing that can happen in the York Theatre. I think that's really sweet. What is the actual mission? You might as well tell people what the York Theatre is all about.
Our mission, since I took over as artistic director in 1997, is to help develop and produce new musicals and to rediscover notable gems from the past, which may have gotten overlooked for one reason or another. Our main emphasis is on new works, new musicals. Musicals is all we do. Musicals are all we do. And so our main emphasis is on new works, but a couple of times a year we do our Musicals in Muskie series, which is sort of our very esoteric, very scaled-down version of the Encores series. They're shows that Encores would never do because they're less mass audience, and we've discovered some incredible gems in the series, such as Enter Laughing.
Oh, so that was first a Mufti work, and then you tried it out as a full-scale production. Cool.
Yeah. It's the first thing we've done like that in a while. Early on in the series, we did Mata Hari in the Mufti series, and it was so successful we brought it to a full production, and A Doll's Life, which was another show that had gotten a bad reputation from its initial outing on Broadway, and the authors of, both of those shows were still alive and did considerable work on both of them both for the Muffies and for the full production. Betty Comden and Adolph Green wrote A Doll's Life with Larry Grossman, and they all went back to work on it in a very impressive way. And the show ended up getting extremely respectable, if not more so, reviews its second time out. So we are very proud of the... that kind of experience that we can offer both writers and audiences. And the same thing, even more so, has happened with Enter Laughing.
Well, you have a real, legitimate, solid hit on your hands. I mean, there's no question about that.
Yes.
Was there a thought of bringing it to Broadway after that initial run last year?
There was a thought, and a number of people expressed interest. No one stepped forward to say, my gosh, I want to be the one that moves it. A number of people stepped forward and said, wow, if you move this, I'd love to put some money in. So one of our reasons to bring it back, other than the hundreds or maybe thousands of people who tried to get in the first run and couldn't, is to hopefully connect with that magical person who sees the commercial potential of this show and move it to either off-Broadway or Broadway. Given the size of it, it's a cast of 14, we all kind of feel that it is a Broadway show, albeit a small Broadway show. It could get killed, as I think you would agree, that if it were in the wrong theater, if it were too large, it would lose a lot.
Right. Well, also, but I mean, it sounds really nice with a little, you have a three-piece combo backing the show, right? Broadway you can add a couple of musicians, maybe that would be
it. Well, we just recorded it. It will come out, the CD will come out on the J Records label, soon, exactly when, I'm not sure. But we recorded it with an orchestra of seven, so that already is a possibility for a Broadway run.
By the way, Jeff Goodman is my guest co-host on the show, and he wants to ask a question of Jim Morgan.
Yeah, hi, Jim. We've met before. You may not know who
I am. Yeah, Jeff. Hi, but, how are you?
Good. But I think you also have to remind people that you've also had very successful revivals of things like Merrily We Roll Along. You had something transferred to Broadway just a couple of years ago.
Souvenir, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was from you guys. Cool.
Yes. And Sweeney Todd. Transferred to Broadway, our revival. Ours was the first Broadway revival,
not the most recent one.
Teeny Todd, yes.
Teeny Todd, I'm sorry.
Yes.
But and then also there's something very interesting that you do in your lobby, or you used to do, is those the show cards, where you link the two together.
That was a particular... we have an ongoing series of exhibits that we're very proud of, the changes from show to show. That was a particular exhibit that I put together, sort of an audience participation game for our run of the musical of musicals, which
yes.
also moved
that was another
commercially.
Good one. Right.
And the I forget the title of the display. It was something like the idea of 6 degrees of separation or something, but it was something like 150 pieces of sheet music.
That was
presented side by side on the walls of the lobby, and you had to find the link which took you to the next one. And people spent intermission and after the show and before the show and lots of time trying to figure it out, and there are a number of ones that stumped people.
Oh, it was absolutely the most fantastic thing to do in a theater lobby for me, at least. I loved it.
The only thing that was equivalent was when the Jewish Repertory Theater used to be around. It was either that or the American Jewish Theater. They had the wall of shame of anti-Semitism. And then anytime there was something horrible anti-Jewish in the papers, they'd post it. This is more fun.
But this is like this Broadway word jumble or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I asked Jim also if he would make a book of it, but there was a problem.
Yeah, we didn't own the rights to any of the material,
right?
Any of the artwork. It's a wonderful idea for a book, and I would love to pursue it, but just getting the rights to those...
It's like their current...
But just so you know, all these years later, I remember talking to you about that, and I just love that. And I mean, if you do publish it, I will be the first one to buy a copy, I promise you.
Well, thank you.
I think it's the best thing ever.
The current exhibit, actually they have one there, is kind of... a little bit gut-wrenching because it's all the famous Hollywood stars and the cigarette ads that they were in. And they were posted all up along the theater, and you see I don't know how many of them died of lung cancer, but it's probably a sobering number.
That's the fascinating and scary part of it. These people, these famous people, selling us cigarette ads, and it's the collection from the collection of a guy named John Shack, who came to me about a year ago and said, "I've been collecting these for years, and I just wonder if you might be interested in a display in your lobby. I love your lobby displays, and I'm not sure what show it would tie into." And I immediately thought of Enter Laughing, because in it is the Butler's song, made famous by George Irving and now being wonderfully performed by Bob Dischy, which lists star after star, Hollywood star after Hollywood star that the lead guy in our play, the lead character in our play, is supposedly having romantic interludes with as the butler talks to Greta Garbo on the phone. Mm-hmm. And so seeing how many of these Hollywood stars, divas, were in John's collection of cigarette ads made me think of doing it during this show, and it's been very successful. And now that we've just reopened the show for an extended run, we've added something to it. It hadn't gone in the night you were there, Dave.
Oh, so, okay. I'll have to come back and see the show again. And
you
see
must
it.
Come back and see it again. It involves additions to the display involving cast members of the show. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, that sounds cute.
Have you ever thought of just making a book about your lobby displays? I mean, you come up with the best ideas.
And how do you...
I've thought of it, and then it often gets down to rights. Again, a number of people say, you've got to put these cigarette ads in a book, and we don't own the rights to them. So. Yeah.
Well, how did it come about that you started doing... I wouldn't say they're famous, but they're kind of known. The pre-curtain speeches. Because a lot of people, you know, they'll send someone up there to say, these are the fire exits, and we have, you know, subscription tickets for sale out in the back, and, you know, there's one intermission, please turn off your cell phones, bye. But you turn it into this whole, like, 6 or 7 minute exegesis, and the audience doesn't mind because they're so much fun. Did that just develop naturally, or what?
Thank you. Well, they did. It happened because the York Theatre Company was founded by a wonderful woman, a wonderful friend of mine, a wonderful friend of many people, named Janet Hayes Walker. And she was the spark plug and the, she made the whole thing happen for 25 years or so, and or more. And I took over when she passed away in 1997. But prior to that, there were a number of years where she was ill with cancer and was fighting it very diligently and valiantly, which is the way she did everything. And they had given her 3 months to live, and she lived for 3 years. But she was really the face of the company, and it was her company. And even though I had been there for 22 years or something at that point, there were a lot of people who had no idea who I was, and I wasn't hurt by it. I wasn't hurt in the least, but a lot of people would arrive at the theater and find out Janet was not there at that performance and be crestfallen because they didn't know who else to talk to. There was no other face on the company. So it was in there that I started doing these curtain speeches, sort of to give, not to take anything away from Janet, but just to say, here's someone else you can talk to, and here's some of the stuff we're up to. And I soon realized that just getting up and making a speech about what's coming up or what is going on is not enough. You have to be at least moderately charming. And there are people who seem to feel I fill that bill at times.
Well, you
there
are immoderately charming, absolutely, when you do those speeches. Yeah.
Thank you. So it's a way of connecting to people, and it's a way of getting word out about what we're up to. And it's been wonderful because the number of people who come up to me then in the lobby feeling they know me and start talking about all sorts of things, ideas they have for shows or connections they have that might be useful to us. And it's really a wonderful way of connecting to people.
That's very true. I mean, I feel I know you. Like, we met like 2 or 3 times, but I really don't I know who you are. I don't think, you know.
Imagine that happening at, like, Manhattan Theater Club or the Roundabout. It just doesn't.
No.
I mean, everybody seems so ivory tower once you get up the ladder.
Well, that's something I realize. That's one of the things I think that sets us apart, is that people talk continuously about the warmth, the family feeling of the York Theater Company. And part of it is to do with the number of... Everyone does a speech... Someone does a speech at each performance. I do it at many of them, but I can't do it at all of them. So someone is out there at every performance to try and connect with the audience.
I think
and
that's wonderful.
People seem to respond to it.
Now, let me ask you, we're talking to Jim Morgan, the artistic director of the York Theatre Company. Now, the thing is, these days it now costs about, you know, anywhere from $8 to $12 million to do a Broadway musical. How do you guys get by on the budgets that you have to do what you do?
Well, it's a combination of things, and it's very tricky in these economic times. And there, happily, it doesn't cost us anywhere near that to put on a show. One of the things we believe is that it shouldn't. I'm not talking about Broadway, but to be able to see good entertainment, good musical theater entertainment, it should not cost you $125 for.
And how much are your tickets?
Well, our tickets normally are in the $55 range. For this return of Enter Laughing, I have to say we raised the price to $67.50 because it seems like we have a very hot ticket, and there are plenty of people who are very happy to pay that. There are also discounts available. You can find them online and on our website and in our newsletter, so there are ways around even that price.
And we should also make it clear, there are some fairly well-known people in Enter Laughing, so that may raise your budget as well. I mean, you've got Bob Dishy, you've got Jill Eikenberry and Michael Tucker, that people may remember from L.A. Law, Marla Chappell, Tony Amini. Yeah.
Yes. Actually, Bob Dishy and Marla, who are new to the cast, are both Tony nominees and Drama Desk winners. But also heading the cast, as David Kollowitz, is an up-and-coming, it's dangerous to say, but...
A star in the making.
A star in the making, absolutely right. Josh Grizzetti. And he's, if he were the only person in the cast, he would be worth the price of admission. But happily, we have this incredible cast surrounding him that measures up to him in every way. So... We're extremely proud of the production, and that's why we brought it back.
Now, also, if they want discount tickets, do you have a subscription that they can
We
join?
Actually don't, which is interesting. We were on subscription for many years. We then went to a membership format, more like Lincoln Center and a few other theaters. And we were meeting with a consultant about 3 years ago who said, you know, subscriptions and memberships are really a thing of the past. People hate them, it's that, of course, makes no sense when you're talking about Roundabout or Manhattan Theater Club or Lincoln Center. She said, if you're one of the big boys, for the time being, you're absolutely fine. But she said, you know, you've never had a big subscription base, and people really hate that kind of commitment, knowing that on May 1st, they are going to see your first preview of such and such show. People more and more don't like being tied down that way. People love to support a theater they believe in. And she said, obviously, you have a very strong audience base that believes in what you do. She said, cater to them, offer them deals when the time is right, make them feel appreciated, and they will continue to support you without a subscription base. She said the other day, without a subscription setup. And she said the other danger about a subscription, particularly in a market like New York City, is that you end up marketing the subscription as opposed to marketing the shows.
Mm-hmm.
So the shows that you're doing get lost in all the hoopla about, here's the deal for our subscription, come and get this much off for each show.
Yeah.
And she said, particularly when you're doing new shows, such as we do, you need to spend all the time you can finding this specific audience for that show that may respond to that particular material. And so we have gone in that direction, and we are finding that it's extremely successful.
And how do the people get the discounts?
They can they can go to our website, www.yorktheater.org. Make sure you spell theater R-E, the pretentious way, yorktheater.org. And you can also, well, actually, I will give you a code that you can use.
Oh, cool.
That people can use to get 25% off.
Excellent.
It's LAFIN, L-A-F-I-N. You have to spell it that way, L-A-F-I-N. And you'll get tickets for $50. And you can use them, do that on our website. You can do it by phone at our box office, which is 212-935-5820. Or you can do it in person at our box office.
Excellent. Oh, I'm so glad we got that for our listeners. Also, can you tell us about stuff that's coming up?
We've got a lot of stuff coming up. Our Musicals and Mufti series is going to start in... Is it May? I think it's May. Sorry, I don't have the... I'm down in Florida doing a show, and so I don't have any material with me, but I believe it's in May. Again, you can find us out on our website and get on our mailing list so that you receive our newsletter and either by email or snail mail.
You're not smoking, are you?
No, I'm just... I'm not.
Okay, just
happily,
checking.
I don't smoke. Though I was deeply inspired by the advertisements in our lobby, I still have not taken it up. But I seem to be getting a cold.
Last,
going to Florida.
Last quickie question for Jim Morgan, the artistic
yes.
director of the York. Actually, it's a double question here. The first is, what is your all-time favorite musical? And what would be your all-time favorite lesser-known musical? Maybe that'd be a different answer.
Well, gosh. I really hate questions like that, because I have too many favorite musicals.
Okay.
Someone putting together a book of... A number of people's 10 favorite musicals got in touch with me a couple of years ago and asked me to be a part of it, and I just couldn't. I didn't want to even limit myself to 10. There are too many wonderful shows out there, and I know too many people who have written wonderful shows, and I would hate the thought of hurting people's feelings by not including such and such a show. There, so I can't... I don't have a favorite. I would say that my favorites range from... Pacific Overtures, to Sweeney Todd, to 110 in the Shade, to The Grass Harp, to...
Because you've done so many of these plays, they're like your children, right? How do you
yes.
choose one of these plays like a child?
Well, that's the thing. You begin to be so close to the material mm-hmm. and to the people who write them. It's been wonderful in this position I'm in to get to know these people.
And I also think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the fact that you're actually going on your 40th anniversary.
Yes, we're actually beginning our 40th season right now. And we're extremely excited about it and revisiting, in one way or another, some of the shows we've done over the years. Talking about getting to know people, one of the great things over the last couple of years has been... our work with Joseph Stein, who wrote, as I mentioned, the book for Enter Laughing, but we did a series of 7 shows of his in the Mufti series, including The Body Beautiful, which was the first show that he wrote with Jerry Bock and Sheldon Harnick about 5 years before they wrote Fiddler. And they even had sort of forgotten it. They knew, of course, the basic show and a number of the wonderful songs, but it had never been officially recorded. And so we have made the first and only official cast recording of Body Beautiful, which has just been listed on theatermania.com as one of the top 10 cast recordings of the year, on a list that includes Gypsy and South Pacific. So
well, as
really
I recall, Sheldon Harnick was on the show last year, and he was talking about that production of The Body Beautiful and how happy he was to see that revived and to see that done again. And I've got to say, we're just so happy to have people like him and people like you coming on the show into the neighborhood and sharing your expertise and your love of theater and love of musicals. All we can really say is just, you know, keep on doing what you're doing, and may the York have another 40 or 80 years to go of doing exactly the kinds of things you're doing now.
Thanks, Dave, very much. I really appreciate you having me on and talking up what we do and believing in what we do. That makes a big difference.